First of all, I'd like to repeat the greetings sent to you from everybody at St. Timothy's Charleston. And but please be seated. I'm sorry. We send our greetings and good wishes to everybody up here, and are thankful for your faithfulness in gathering together and do what you do here every week on our Lord and our King. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Palm Sunday to Good Friday. What happened? 5 days. Those that were praising him seemingly turned on him. Those who said, Hosanna to the highest, 5 days later to say, Crucify him. His blood be upon us and upon our children. What happened? Well, it starts at the beginning where in the joy of Palm Sunday, which we rehearsed this morning, as I wore the red stole, declaring our Lord's kingship. And now, in a few minutes, instead of 5 days, in a few minutes, we turned into purple. We turned to the passion of our Lord. What happened in these 5 days? Our Lord will have received a king's welcome into the holy city, his holy city. Have we received him? Do we take him into our hearts? We do so every time we profess our faith in him when we receive him at the altar. He will have been betrayed by the kiss of a friend, Judas Iscariot, an apostle. He will have been denied by a friend, Peter, the very prince of the apostles. He will have been tried on false charges, which we just read in the Passion. Charges that were trumped up that they couldn't have even agree on. He will have been crucified between two thieves, one of them which reviled and scorned him, basically cursing him, the other one that asked him to remember him when he went into paradise. Our Lord right there told him, This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the end of the story is, of course, we know, and we'll rehearse next week wherever we are. We'll come to that tomb. We'll come there expecting to see the women anointing his body. But he's not there. He's arisen. But we have this week to think about these things, to go from Palm Sunday, those days that he was cleansing the temple during Holy Week, a day in some Christian church they call the Spy Wednesday, when Judas Iscariot was looking for our Lord an opportunity to betray him. And then Thursday, when he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, after he had the Last Supper with his disciples, where he did as the law commanded, as he did in everything else, by observing the Passover. And then with that, doing the very first Eucharist, and then on Good Friday, doing for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, shedding his blood upon that cross. How do we respond to this? First of all, there's obedience. In the first verse of what I just read, just tells the disciples to get a donkey and its foal and gives directions how they're to be to do it, and the words he gave them to say if they were challenged. And they did exactly what he said. Do we in our lives obey when he calls to obey? It's awfully hard sometimes. I have to answer for myself, and I don't like the answer that I sometimes get when I ask God about it. And that's what the season of Lent was, sort of, you know, as we're now in Passion Tide, the season of Lent calls us to leave some of the comforts home, the Lord to leave his baptism in the Jordan River and to go out into the wilderness for 40 days and to prepare for his public ministry. And we do likewise as we go into our own wilderness, the wilderness of our lives, the sin and the disappointments that we cause the Lord when we go out there. But now, as it is in the transfiguration, our Lord, after he was transfigured before the disciples, he turns his head towards Jerusalem. Is that point now that we have turned? We've turned, gone from the wilderness, and as the Lord went in his Judean ministry, then after the transfiguration, he went in his Judean ministry and points his head to Jerusalem, to where we are now. So our obedience to him, do we follow him on that path? Worship. The disciples obey and then show worship by placing their cloaks on an unbroken animal, a green donkey. And by the way, you may already know this, a horse, of course, is an animal of burden that a king, a military king, would ride upon to proclaim victory, to put down the Romans in this case. But Jesus arrives on a donkey, the foal of an ass, a lowly donkey, and thus proclaims himself, which they didn't understand, as the King of Peace. So part of what happens between now and Good Friday is the fact that Jesus didn't come as a military warrior. He came as the King of Peace. He didn't overthrow the yoke of Rome upon the Jewish people. He did something far more significant that unfortunately a lot of people don't understand today. He paid the ultimate price to give us the victory. So as the people worship, they worship him by the disciples by putting their own raiment on the donkey. They set our Lord upon him. And the people that hear him coming, when they say Hosanna in the highest, they see him coming. As I knocked on the door as I came in here, it was just an idea of me giving you a picture of what the people might have sung. You know, somebody said, he's coming, he's coming. And so they set palm branches, olive branches, whatever they set up, to make a path, such as you have right here, for him to come into his city, the holy city. How do we worship? Do we worship him truly? Is it lip service? Our liturgical worship helps us to stay within the framework of proper worship that is meaningful, reverent, and respectful, and dignified, because he deserves nothing less than what everything we can give him, and far more than what we do give him. Curiosity. Many of the people along his way wonder at his arrival. Who is this? I was in Jerusalem many years ago when I was in the Navy, and I remember talking to some of my shipmates. We had a port call in Haifa for 8 days, around Christmas, as a matter of fact. And some of the people decided to go on the tour of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and everything over Christmas Eve and Christmas, which is a wonderful experience. When we walked the Via Dolorosa, they were disappointed. I said, why are you disappointed? He said, well, there are people all around. It isn't. They had an idea that it was going to be set off by itself, and, you know, where there's monks singing or something. I don't know what they were expecting. But this is the way it was on that first Good Friday. People are standing around. Who is this? This man's got blood and sweat all over his face. He's carrying this horrible cross. Who is this? And then, of course, they had different stories. So there was a lot of confusion. So a question we ask ourselves, and the fact that you're all here have already answered that question. Who do we believe he actually is? Is he a rabbi? Yes. Is he a teacher? Yes. Is he a prophet? Yes. Because he foretold his own crucifixion, said many things of himself, said so through the prophets, because our Lord, as we know, is the Word made flesh. So the Word came from him to Isaiah and others that prophesied was coming. So he knows who he is, and do we really believe who he is? And that's a question that you've all answered by being here, being a part of it. Cleansing. He arrives in peace. And yet forthwith, he goes into the temple, perhaps Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, some, but he goes in there. And the temple is defiled, what? With people, money changers. Not the fact that we're just simply changing money, but they're gypping people, ripping them off, giving them dishonest exchange of money, selling turtle doves and pigeons for inflated costs. It's sort of like, unfortunately, when there's a bad fire or a storm, you'll go to a place and people will gouge you for the price because they know you're in need. So he cleansed that. So do we cleanse ourselves? When we come here, we do receive the cleansing from this altar, his precious body and blood in this sacrament. So do we, in addition to that, give our Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Ghost, free course to cleanse us? We do this through prayer, of course, our private meditation, coming here as you all do faithfully every week. Then there's opposition. He's opposed by the religious leaders of the day. Why? Because he threatens their authority, their legalism, their position. We have done the same thing as continuing Anglican Catholics, that we got away from what was once the Episcopal Church. We saw what was going wrong, and we left. Some people left at great price, leaving behind fat salaries, nice pension plans, but they saw what was right and realized that the church of that day was standing against what our Lord taught, how we should preach the gospel faithfully and duly render and administer the Holy Sacrament. So you all have done that. You have opposed what was wrong. So we've traced in a few minutes what will happen this week. So we go then from here, as we just sang now, we think of our Lord instituting the first Eucharist. Then they sang a hymn, and as we just sang, then went to dark Gethsemane. Will we go to that dark Gethsemane with him and give him one bitter hour, or the hours that he asks to give him? Could he not watch with me 1 hour? Do we sleep sometimes when we should be awake listening to him? Or are we occupied in prayer and fasting as our Lord leads us to do? And then, will we be there Friday morning? Friday at noon, as you all faithful be here as you are able. And to cry out, Lord Jesus, save me. Do that work you promised to do. I don't want to see you suffer, but we realize that he had to suffer to pay for our sin. So during these few days, the most holy week, as it's called, Holy Week, and for a reason, this is the incredible week in the work of the liturgical year of the church. We go from the joy of Palm Sunday to the Passion in one single service. Then we come up Thursday for a few moments as we celebrate the first Eucharist. And then we dive into the depths of the Passion of Good Friday. And then we have that silence during Friday evening when they lay him in the tomb. We keep silence. We keep silence. We wait. And his disciples thought, what happens now? They scattered in fear when he was taken from them in the garden. And then Mary and the other women come to the tomb to dress the body. And he's gone. Stay tuned next week. The good news comes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.